From the Fort Payne Church of Christ, join us now as Jimmy Holland preaches the simple gospel of Christ. And now, here's Jimmy.
We are thankful that you're with us this morning, especially those of you who are visiting with us. You are our honored guest, and we're so thankful to have you. I was at baseball practice in high school, and all of the baseball players, we got out to the field and we noticed that the coach wasn't there yet. And we were about halfway through the season at this point, and we knew how every practice was supposed to start. We were supposed to get out there and stretch and warm up and start throwing and then start taking batting practice. And whether the coach was there or not, we knew the routine. But because the coach wasn't there, we didn't do it. Instead, we started playing a game that we called Fungo Golf, or golf with a baseball and a bat. And we were having a grand old time until about 20 minutes later, we heard the familiar truck door slam of the coach's truck. And we knew that it was going to get bad. And so he got out to the field, and he was upset. He was already upset because he was late because his truck broke down. We didn't know that. We probably would have done what he wanted us to do if we knew he was going to be in a bad mood. But the first words out of his mouth were, "Why are y'all out here?" At the time, we didn't understand the question because we were out there to play baseball. We were out there to practice. But you see, we weren't fulfilling our purpose at that moment. We were just goofing off. We were playing a game. And he wanted to teach us that our purpose for being out on that field was to get better, was to prepare. I have a question for us this morning. Why is the church here? Why did God give us the church? What's the purpose of the church? The fact is, we must be fully applying ourselves to the work of Christ and His church. You see, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, and I appreciate Garrett reading that earlier, notice what Paul says, that we are to be abounding in the work of the Lord. When Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he told them that they were to be working, didn't he? That they were to be abounding in the work of the Lord. You see, Paul is giving the church a purpose. He's giving the church direction. Why is the church here? It's not to be a social club where we just come together and we're essentially just wasting time. We come together and we hang out and we do things together, which there's nothing wrong with that, but there's a greater purpose. God didn't design the church just for that. There's something else there. Nothing walks with aimless feet and accomplishes something. Have you noticed or ever met someone that was that way? They were there. They didn't really do anything, but they were there. They walked around and they just didn't accomplish anything. What good does that do? What goals are accomplished in doing that? You see, the church has a mission. The church has a work. And just as Jesus at 12 years old looked at Mary and Joseph and said, "I must be about my Father's business," you and I, we must be about our Father's business. But what is the work of the church? And for the month of November, we're going to be talking about working. We're going to be talking about how we accomplish the work of the Lord. So what is the church? What's the work of the church? The church is to be saving souls. You see, there is a universal need. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your education level. There is a universal problem that all men from Adam and Eve to today struggle with, except for one. There's only one who didn't have a sin problem. And that was Christ Himself. The rest of us, we've all Romans 3:23, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have a universal need. No one can say, I'm good. I don't have to worry about sin. I don't have to worry, or I don't need salvation because I haven't messed up yet. There may be some who think that, but reality is we've all fallen short of God's glory. We're all in the same boat. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. He tells us in Romans 6 and verse 23, that if we don't fix and address this universal need, if we don't take care of this sin problem, that the wages of sin, what we earn and deserve because of sin, is death. Then he says this, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. What we deserve is death. What we've earned is death. But what God is offering is eternal life. We've got to understand that that's a reality we've all faced. That's a reality that all men, man, is facing. That outside of Christ, one is lost. Outside of Christ, one deserves death. But inside of Christ, one has eternal life. And because of this universal need, God has given us a responsibility. And that responsibility is to seek and save those who are lost, who are outside of Christ. You know, the Great Commission, it's easy to say, well, Jesus was just talking to the apostles. But when we look at what he wrote and what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, quickly we realize that we can't just say, this is the apostles' job. This has nothing to do with me. Once we read the words of Jesus, we understand that the Great Commission is binding upon all Christians. And if we open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, and I hope you do, in verse 18, Jesus says, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then notice what he says right after that. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Jesus is saying, I want you to go and I want you to make disciples. I want you to go and tell them what you've done, and then I want you to teach them how to do that. I want you to teach them how to make disciples. And those that were made disciples, what were they supposed to do? They were to go out and do the same thing. They were to go out and preach the gospel. Make disciples, teaching them how to make disciples. How long was this pattern to continue? Look at verse 20. Lo, I am with you always. How long? Even to the end of the age or to the end of the world. This pattern was to continue until Christ came back. He hasn't come back yet. So what are we to be doing as members of His body, as Christians? We're to be making disciples. We're to be looking for those who are outside of Christ. So how do we accomplish this work? We know that we are to be about our Father's business. We know that we are to be seeking those who are outside of Christ. How do we accomplish it? Well, the pulpit. And really, this is the main way that we try to reach those who are lost, is we make sure that we have a guy who can stand up in the pulpit and preach the gospel and teach the Bible. And I'm thankful that Fort Payne does that. I'm thankful that the elders see the need for that, because there is a need for that. But there's more ways than just being able to stand in a pulpit and preach to reach those who are lost. Next week, we're going to spend a great deal of time talking about personal evangelism. About how personally I can be about my Father's business. About how personally, I can be involved in reaching the lost. But quickly, personally, I can extend an invitation. I don't have to be a great Bible scholar in order to be involved in evangelism. It can be simply following the example of Philip. Philip went to his brother and said, "Hey, come and see. Hey, we've got an Ariad youth devotional. Why don't you come with us? Why don't you come and visit with us? Or we have something going on. We have a ladies' day. We have a men's retreat. The list goes on." It could be something as simple as writing a card. We have the internet. And I'm thankful for those of you who are involved in our internet ministry. And I've been blown away by the reception of the things that we've been doing. For example, our Motivational Mondays on Facebook every Monday. Since we've started those, we're averaging about 750 views a week. That's because you share them or share those videos on Facebook. Is that not evangelism? Is that not reaching out and to those who are lost? We have our radio program. We have our TV studio coming up. There's so many ways that we accomplish this work. And the point is, there's a place for all of us to be involved in this. All of us must be working. Not all of us can do the same thing. And that's fine. We're not designed to do the same thing. But we are to be working and abounding in the work of the Lord. We're also to be strengthening the saved. The church is to be strengthening the saved. There is a need to build one another up. And we've talked about this point quite a bit. Hebrews 3 and verse 13 talks about exhorting one another, even as it is called today. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 10, Paul says, "Encourage one another and build one another up just as you were doing." Life is hard. Living a Christian life is hard. Is it the greatest life that we can live? Yes, but it's not the easiest. We struggle with so many things, whether it's our own spiritual weakness, whether it's family, whether it's a job. The list goes on of things that can discourage us and weaken us. And because of that reality, we need somebody who can be there to pick us up. I was watching a video on Facebook a few weeks ago, and it was about a man who for the last 20 years had organized a hockey league for the physical and mental physically and mentally disabled individuals. And his son was born with Down syndrome, and he said what motivated him, and he was asked, "Why did you start this hockey league?" And he said, "And I'll tell you why." He said, my son was involved in a Special Olympics type race. And they were running, and as the story, as we've seen before, one of the runners trips and falls. And this man's son sees him fall, and so he goes back and he helps him up, and they walk across the finish line together. He said, "And I know it sounded cliche, and I know that we've heard a story like that before," he said, but seeing it happen made me realize that there was so much more that I needed to be doing. And so the guy that was doing the interview looked at this man's son and said, "Can you tell me about it?" And he said, "Well, it wasn't about winning a race. It was about finishing." We are running a race. We're not running a race of trying to see who can get there first. We're running a race to finish. And we can't finish without one another. In what areas do we need to be strengthened? Well, as we said, There's a lot of areas. Every aspect of our lives, we need to be strengthened. Socially, we need to be strengthened because socially, we're surrounded by a culture who does not share the same values, the same morals that God's Word teaches. And we know that 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, evil communications corrupts good morals. So we do need to be strengthened socially to make sure that we aren't doing things that God wouldn't approve of, that we're on guard in this area. We need to be strengthened in our homes. It's not easy being a godly spouse. It's not easy being a godly parent. There are so many things that can cause us to stumble. When you look at what God says about a husband and a wife in Ephesians 5:22 through 25, or as parents in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, these aren't popular concepts. It's hard to be what God wants us to be in our homes. But it's easier when we know other people are trying as well. That we're not the only ones trying to have a home that God wants us to have. And we all have our own personal struggles spiritually. These areas in which we need to be strengthened. So who's to be doing this? And how can we be involved in strengthening one another? All of us are to be involved in this work. It's easy to say, well, it's the elder's job. It's easy to say, well, it's just the preacher's job. That's what he's paid to do. But all of us have to be involved in building one another up. Because you can encourage someone that perhaps I can't encourage. You know someone better than I know someone. You have a better opportunity. But how can we strengthen one another? We can spend time studying our Bibles together in our homes. Now, I was blown away when I was talking with a good friend of mine just a couple of weeks ago, and he was informing me that he had a group of men that every Thursday morning they meet at a coffee shop there where he works, and they have a short devotional and prayer together, and then they go to work. And I said, well, how many do you have showing up? He says, we have about 15 that come on a regular basis. And he says, and I tell you what, it has helped me more than it's ever helped them. It's a great opportunity for us to strengthen one another, because it's in that setting that we can talk about things that perhaps we're not as comfortable talking about in a formal setting. But we also encourage one another by spending time together outside of services. And I know this is something that we've talked about before, but we cannot build the relationships that we ought to have with each other if the only time we see each other is inside these walls. Now, I try to speak to everyone at the end of Bible class and worship service, but I fail miserably at that. We need to be making time for each other outside of these walls. But our Bible classes and our worship services are a good way to encourage. And here's the thing. We can encourage someone without realizing we're encouraging them. You know, sometimes somebody comes in and they've had a bad day, or they've had a bad week, or they've had a bad month. And you simply speaking to them or asking them how they are makes all the difference. There's something, again, for all of us to participate. This is an area where all of us have an opportunity to work and to participate. Finally, as the church, we're to be serving the suffering. In Matthew chapter 26, we have this picture being painted. A woman comes and anoints Jesus with expensive oil or perfume. And the disciples that are there that see that, they get angry. And they're saying, she wasted it. You know, we could have put that to much better. We could have sold it and we could have helped the poor. And Jesus made this statement in verse 11 of Matthew 26. You always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. And there's a lot of things that we can talk about with that passage, but here's what I want to point out. Jesus is telling us that there will always be a need to help the suffering. Jesus is saying the suffering will always be there. You'll have those who are struggling physically, financially. You'll have those who are hurting. That need will always exist until time stops. So what are we doing about it? If we know that reality, what are we doing about it? Why should we do something about it? Why should we be helping those who are suffering? Number one, it's commanded. Galatians 6 and verse 10, Paul says, "As you have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith." If you look at that context, you'll see it's said in the context of verse 2 of Galatians 6, where he says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." We help, we are to serve others because Jesus commanded it. We are to help and to serve those who are hurting in view of judgment. In Matthew 25, Jesus talks about the judgment scene. In verses 41 through 46, he talks about how there's a separation between the sheep and the goats. And he says, "I'm going to look at the goats and I'm going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you." He says, "I was hungry and I thirst and you did not give me drink. I was naked and imprisoned, and you didn't visit me." He says, "I was suffering, and you did not do anything about it." And they're going to respond, "When did we see you that way, Jesus?" And I'm going to answer, "When you did it not to the least of these, you did not do it to me." We're to serve the suffering in view of judgment. If I refuse to help those who I have the opportunity to help, I'm going to have to answer for that. But we're to serve the suffering as well to follow the example of Jesus. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, Peter says that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And Jesus showed us how to live a good life. Jesus showed us how to live a faithful life to God. But he also showed us how to serve. I love the statement that Jesus made in Mark 10:45. In Mark 10:45, Jesus said, "I did not come to be served, but I came to serve and to give my life a ransom for all." As a child of God, whose name do I carry? As a disciple of Christ, whose name do I carry? I carry the name of Christ, Christian. If I'm not helping and serving the suffering, then how can I carry his name? We're to serve the suffering because we love them. 1 John 3:17, if you have the world's goods and you do not help your brother, you don't love him. Why are you doing this? Because I love you. I remember a powerful scene of a family who did not even have money for a meal on Thanksgiving. So a congregation put together a meal and delivered it to them. And the mother of that family was crying, and she kept saying, "Why are you doing this? We don't have anything to give you." And the response was, "I'm not doing it so that you'll give us something. We're doing it because we love you." You see, we serve solely out of the motive that we love and we care. But we serve because we want to practice pure religion. Notice what James says is pure religion in James 1:27. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. James says pure and undefiled religion is to help those, to serve those who are suffering. As I said, there's not enough room up there to put up all the different ways that we can do this. It's countless. But there is a place for all of us to be involved. So why is the church here? What's the purpose? What's the work that we are to be about? The work that we are to be participating in, that all of us are to be involved in, is saving the lost, strengthening the saved, and serving the suffering. Why do we do these things? Paul tells us simply in Ephesians 3:21, so that we can bring glory to God. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, why are we to let our light so shine before the world that they may see our good works? So that they will glorify God who is in heaven. God is glorified when we are immersed in our mission, in our work, in what He has designed us to do. I pray that all of us will take seriously our responsibility of being about our Father's business, of being involved in these areas. Are you using your talents? Are you involved in the work of the Lord's church? Maybe the answer to that is no, because maybe you haven't become a part of His church. You see, the Lord Himself adds you to His church when you obey His gospel, when you hear the gospel taught, when you recognize that you are outside of Christ, that you have sin that needs to be washed away. When you begin changing or repenting of your sins, when you confess Jesus as the Son of God, and you have every sin you've ever committed washed away by the blood of Christ through the waters of baptism, you come up out of the waters of baptism, Paul says in Romans 6 and verse 4, to walk a new life, a better life. And if you need to make that decision, I beg you to do so this morning. Maybe you have done that, but since then, maybe you haven't been about your Father's business. Maybe you haven't been involved in the work of the church. You know the changes that you need to make. You can start making them right where you sit this morning. Maybe there's some things going on in your life that are discouraging you. Maybe you need us as your forever family to pray with you, to encourage you, to let you know that we love you. We're always honored to do that. If we can help you in any way this morning, please won't you come as we stand and as we sing.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget.
We hope you've enjoyed another lesson from God's Word. We invite you to join us at our worship services at the Fort Payne Church of Christ. Bible study Sunday morning at 9:30, worship service Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday Bible study at 6:30 p.m. Visit us at our website at www.fortpaynecoc.com.
Oh, heaven came down and glory filled my soul.